A rasping sound could be heard from Grum's direction. He's crying, says Duranda, sniffling a bit herself. I don't care if he's the ugliest thing in the universe, Bivitar announces. He's lonely and he's in pain. I'm going to meet him. Biv, cries Duranda, but he's already running toward Grum. Grum sees him approaching and tries to run away, but falls to the ground. No, come not closer, he wails, trying to hide his face. Not near, but far. Bivitar passes the last few statues and arrives at Grum's side. He is indeed ugly. Beyond belief, scaly and deformed, but Bivitar ignores the ugliness, looking only at Grum's wide, compassionate eyes. Slowly, Grum lowers his arms, trembling with disbelief. You do not turn to statue. Duranda arrives and kneels next to Bivitar. You're not so horrible, Duranda tells Grum. She's right, Grum. There are other kinds of beauty besides outward appearance. There's beauty of the soul. And by trying to warn us not to come here, and by living alone here for so long rather than risk harming others, you've demonstrated your inner beauty. Tears stream down Grum's face.
Never imagined, did I, that anyone would ever call me beautiful.
Grum, return with us to the world above, suggests Duranda.
No, Grum cries, too dangerous that would be.
But we have shown you that everyone who sees you doesn't turn to stone, argues Duranda. And we know that a very good wizard who might be able to break your enchantment, adds Bivitar.
Well, perhaps, Grum agrees. But if just one more person becomes a statue, right back here Grum will go.
That's fair enough, Bivitar says. But the next problem is how to get back out. We lost our lantern, he explains to Grum, and we can't navigate these underground passages without the light.
Very nearby a place is where a torch we can get.
Great! Lead us there! Grum leads them among the statues, toward an opening at the far end of the cavern. Suddenly, Duranda cries out, Biv, look!
What is it?
Asks Bivitar. Duranda points at two small stone figures, poised in the middle of an argument. It's Max and Fred. Bivitar stares in horror.
Oh, those poor elves.
Remember them, I do, says Grum. Among the first to arrive they were. They must have found a little jade figurine. I thought they were playing, did I? But they were merely fighting over figurine. Wanted to play also, did I? But before I could, spotted me they had, and turned to stone as you now see them.
Bivitar and Duranda are silent for a moment, thinking about Max and Fred. Finally, they turn away and follow Grum. The opening at the far end of the cavern leads into a short hallway, which ends at a round room with a domed ceiling. Sitting in the center of the room, atop a pedestal, is a flaming ivory torch. Four doorways lead from the room, each one labeled with a signpost. The signpost for the doorway they just left is labeled The Cavern of the Rainbow Mosses. The other three signposts read, in different fonts, by the way, The Crypt of Death, The Dungeon of Dry Bones, and The Hall of Mirrors. Duranda takes the ivory torch.
Now that we've got light again, we can go back the way we came.
Just a second, says Bivitar. What if we ran into Grawl or Lieblung again? Maybe we should take one of the other doorways instead. Bivitar thinks for a moment. Well, this is Grum's territory. Grum, do you have any idea which exit to take? Will we take the Cavern of the Rainbow Mosses and return the way we came? Do we head for the Crypt of Death, the happy, happy place that it is? Do we go to the Dungeon of Dry Bones, or do we head for the Hall of Mirrors? And while you decide, let's catch up a little bit on what's going on in Calm. Let's see here. Oh yes, there was some slurping going on there. We had at least one suddenly, and I don't think we had any dragons, but we did have a suddenly.
Breath Reviewed, I am.
Let's see. Yeah, I went kind of Groverish with it a little bit, and then Yoda, and then it was back and forth, and I don't know.
Near and far?
The land of Froboz. Yeah, the elves. I'm actually a little happy that the elves are turned to stone, because I don't remember their voices that I did at all. I'd have to go listen to one of the old episodes or something and figure out what I was doing. All right, how can we not go for the rainbow mosses? But we came from the rainbow mosses. Really? Are we going that way? No, wait. Gemalux is mirrors. Elwyn's is mirrors. Lexi is really into the rainbow mosses. Are they tree-dwelling, cookie-baking elves? Or, oh, no. Tobe, I think you missed it. The elves in Zork are kind of horrible, and they remind me a little bit of Gully Dwarves from Dragonlance, if you're familiar at all with that. But they're kind of gnomish and kind of dopey. They're not like Tolkien elves by far, but hey. I'm more into seeing something new, says Lexi now. Okay. Snowdusk, welcome. Welcome to the Anon Radio chat room. The mirrors, though. Okay. Nibelung type elves. Lexi, change mind. Usually the other way around. All right. We're going to try the hollow mirrors. Sounds like we're going to try the hollow mirrors. We're actually really close to the end of this book, which happened surprisingly fast. It took us so long to get halfway through, and then we were like, zoop, right to the end. All right. Well, the Hall of Mirrors sounds like the safest way to me, Bivitar decides. Let's go that way. They enter the passageway labeled the Hall of Mirrors. Toward the beginning, the passage is low and narrow. However, it soon becomes wider and wider, and finally ends in a large room. Bivitar and Geranda gasp as they enter the room. It is the banquet hall of the Castle of Zork. A gigantic mirror fills the far end of the room, just as they remember. Juran, how did we get back to the castle? Something looks wrong, Biv. Look at that tapestry. That tapestry belongs on the right side of the hall, but here it's on the left. And those windows, those are on the wrong side of the room as well. This isn't the banquet hall of the castle? No. It's an exact replica of the hall, only backwards. A mirror image, and buried here, far underground. Bivitar approaches the mirror. Then that image there, on the other side of the mirror, that's the real banquet hall. If only there was a way to get there. This seems awfully familiar to me, this particular plotline. I hope we don't run into a Jabberwocky soon. Let's see. He reaches out toward the mirror. As his fingers touch the surface, there comes a rumble from deep within the earth. The room shakes, and all three are thrown to the floor. Uh-oh. Snicker snack. When the floor stops shaking, Bivitar stands and looks around. Geranda, we did it! This is the real banquet hall. We're back in the castle. Geranda looks around also. Biv, where's Grum? And who is that? Where Grum had been before the earthquake, there now stands a handsome young man, dressed in princely robes. Only his eyes seemed familiar, filled with warmth and compassion. "I am Logramether," he states. "The enchantment is broken!" They hear a cry from across the hall. A sea of our enters. "Geranda, Bivitar! I felt the rumble and I came here to investigate. I've been so worried," Sivar suddenly notices the figure of the princely garb. He freezes in his tracks, speechless. Then he runs to Logramether and embraces him. "My son! My son!" he cries, tears streaming from his eyes. "I thought I should never see you again." That evening, Sivar holds a mighty banquet to celebrate the return of Logramether. Noblemen and enchanters from every township in the kingdom are present. Sivar and his son sit at the head table, flanked by Bivitar and Geranda. "I don't understand exactly what happened," says Bivitar, between mouthfuls. "How was the enchantment broken?" Sivar smiles broadly. "There are some things that even a warlock of Grawls might cannot foresee. My father was right to send you into the Cavern of Doom. He and he alone felt that you would succeed where so many brave adventurers and mighty warriors had failed." That's right, he was so wise to send two kids into the Cave of Doom that had killed all the warriors. That was really smart of him. Bandersnatch is the word you're looking for, Gemlog. Frumius Bandersnatch. In fact, continues Sivar, the enchantment began to break when you demonstrated that your feelings for Grum as a person were more important than your feelings about his appearance. Oh man, this story's got quite the moral. But it wasn't until you touched the mirror, Wagramather adds, and transported us back here, that the last of the curse was destroyed. Only then were my memories and appearance restored, and Grum put to rest forever. And now, says Siavar standing, it is my turn to test my abilities. An expectant hush falls over the banquet hall. Siavar begins casting a spell so powerful that the very air in the room seems to crackle with the energy. A cloud of smoke forms in the center of the hall. The cloud begins spinning around, swirling madly like a tiny tornado. It grows larger and larger, and then, suddenly, it's gone. In its place, standing in the center of the huge hall, looking dazed and confused, are 100 or more explorers, treasure hunters, and knights. With one fantastic effort, Siavar has returned all of the stone figures to life and transported them back to the castle. Suddenly, Bivitar and Duranda are buried under a mass of elvish hugs. Max! Shouts Duranda. Fred! Bivitar yells. Max and Fred went exploring underground realm, explains Max. Many dangers. Fred found this jade figurine, says Fred, holding it up. Wait a minute, Max found figurine. Max tries to snatch the figurine away from Fred. Did not, Fred saw it first. Siavar roars with laughter. Calm down, you two, you'll destroy the entire castle if you keep fighting. He touches the jade figurine, and immediately each elf is holding an identical figurine. Oh, that's convenient. Maybe Fred did find it first, admits Max. But Max was maybe first to pick it up, Fred points out. Oh, I think that I'm getting close to the voice I used to do. Siavar turns to Bivitar and Duranda. Unfortunately, the time has come for us to say goodbye once again. I am now thrice indebted to you, but this time you have done a deed I value even more than my own life, returning my beloved son. I can never repay you, but return again and I shall certainly try. He hugs both of them warmly. And don't forget the ring, he says, handing Duranda the ring of Zork. The world goes dark for a moment, and then Bill and June are sitting at the ledge atop Lookout Point. The sun is beginning to sink low in the western sky. June looks at Bill and slips the ring into her pocket. No words are necessary to share their feelings as they mount their bicycles for the ride home, for they know that they will soon visit the magical kingdom of Zork again. The end. 10 out of 10 points, 32 minutes into the show, and we're done. Wow. All right. I was almost certain that we had picked the death path, but, you know, that's what happens. We just accidentally went right on through. Jill and Boone. Bill and Ted, Benny and June. That was a good movie. You want to go back to the and smoke some of that rainbow moss? Oh, man. What would have happened if we went back to the rainbow moss? Let's see. Oh, it was an end. Immediate death. Let's see. Oh, nice. Apparently, Grawl catches up with us. Let's see here. This is what would have happened if we had gone back to the rainbow moss. On second thought, why don't we go back along the same route, says Bivitar. At least we're familiar with it. Bivitar, Duranda, and Grum return to the Cavern of the Rainbow Mosses and begin yawning, winding their way through the maze of stone figures. Before they've crossed the cavern, however, a cold wind sweeps around them, and the amulet begins to glow. A moment later, an incredibly old man appears. He is wrinkled and stooped and is dressed in a robe of midnight blue. Atop his head is an almost comical-looking pointed cap decorated with stars. He seems harmless enough. Then the old man speaks in a powerful and malevolent voice that belies his innocent appearance.
At last I have found the thieves who ransacked my workshop. I will have to teach you that no one trifles with Grawl.
He produces a wand from his robe and points it at Bivitar and Duranda, who turn into beetles. Grawl proceeds to crush them under his heel. Oh, dear. Evil Rincewind. All right. Well, that was easy. What did we do? Yeah, we were really early in this one. I don't have a backup book because, like I said, drinking until like 2 minutes before the show. But we did it, guys. We finished the Zork books. There's only four of them, at least as far as I could tell, unless anybody knows of a later Zork book that was a choose-your-own-adventure. I think we've read them all now. Jiranda and Bivitar's adventures have come to a close. They're alive. I was going to play some cool music. I actually had Queen. I had some We Are the Champions queued up for this last little bit here. But, you know, can't really do much of that. Let's see here. Can I do that? What would happen if I just start playing this? I don't know. I don't know if you can hear that at all. Yeah, I'm not sure. No idea. All right. Well, if you can hear it, it's cool. There's some... What did I do? I lost myself. I could do interactive fiction. Vamp. Yeah, for the next 25 minutes, let's just chat. All right, what's going on here? Read a cosmic update. Ooh, I could do that. All right. I don't think anybody can hear the Queen, unfortunately. It was a good ending. I don't know what's going on, honestly, guys. Let's see. The loopbacks go to V1. Loopbacks. I completely lost the audio stuff anyway. Whatever. Mad Libs. All right, so let's do a plug for Cosmic Voyage while we're here all together. Cosmic.voyage. You can go there in your internet web browser, or if you're an old fogey, you can hit it on Gopher. It's even on Gopher over SSL on port 7070. But yeah, Cosmic.voyage. We have 151 logs so far. We started this in late November, and we've been going strong. We've got about 30 different participants, a bunch of different ships, and it's pretty cool. It's a sci-fi, semi-collaborative adventure. You can sign up for free. It's a public access Unix system, so it comes with a login, and it's text-based. You create text files and run some programs, and you can write stories with us. The backstory for it is on the website. It's cool. You should do it. If you are into writing at all, check that stuff out. We would love more writers. Christy O'Twisty needs to catch up on Cosmic Voyage. You do. You were looking for something to read for the next couple days while you get snowed in. That's a great thing to do. I highly recommend new readers start with Vortrekker. That is Alexis's ship. You can browse individually by ship if you want. You go to cosmic.voyage, and one of the links there is for ships, colonies, and outposts. And if you click on that, it gives you a list of all the different ships. If you click on a ship like Vortrekker, you can see all of the posts for that ship in order. So you can kind of read through the whole thing. I think Vortrekker is our strongest story. Like I said, it's written by Alexis. You can find her over on... Tilde Radio in the chat. She's listening right now. But yeah, there's a lot of really good stuff on there. We've got Hoffnung, which is kind of like a rise of the proletariat story in space. You know, what would happen with the rise of communism. We've got all kinds of different stuff, though. There's a couple... what's going to happen next stories. There's a couple twisty, almost sci-fi horror things going on. I run a ship called Melchizedek that's had some hard times lately. I also run a thing called Oleander, which is, I don't know how to say it in a really easy, like a PC way, but it's basically a ship of suicide bombers that are on their way, and it is letters home before they... do their mission. So there's all kinds of different stuff, and like I said, everybody could join and write whatever. Publius should totally join. Yeah, Snowdusk, I think, his personal like love of space and moon and travel and all that, mixed with his admiration for classic sci-fi. I think it would come together really well. He could do some good stuff there. yes, Vortrekker, definitely start there. Although maybe not, because it might set a high bar for the rest. But yeah, whatever. It's really impressive. If you're looking for something like a solid good read, that's it. And if you if you sign up and want to write, a lot of our writers are open to collaboration too. There are very few rules on the system. One of them is you don't inject yourself into another person's story without checking with them first. So, yeah, you can do that. Just sign up for whatever. Write your story. If you really like the way something's running, or if you like somebody's world they set up, or a corporation they mentioned, you just ping them and see if they're into that, and then you can pull it into your story. Most people are open for it. All right. And that took about 5 minutes to talk, and we've got about 19 more to go. I really wish I could play music for you or something, but what's it going to be? It's just one of those nights where we're just going to have to talk together. Pulse Audio is all set up. All of my streams are on my headset. My loopbacks are on V1. That's exactly right. Recording should be the monitor of V1, and all the loopbacks should be my headset stereo. And if I go to recordings, loopbacks should be on headset stereo and monitor, right? Loopbacks on that, yep. And then let's see if this makes you guys not hear me for a second. If it does, I'll be right back. Let's see, monitor of V1. All right. Okay. I think you guys can hear me now. Yeah? Adam D. What's going on? Whoa, pay attention to Adam D, maybe. Did Adam D say something? I was hearing Queen, but very low. Oh, maybe. Okay. Yeah, System D all the way. All right, let's see if this works, guys. Let me know if you can hear some Queen. We're going to try this out. Cross your fingers and maybe toes. We might need the extra fingers. No? Nothing? No, I don't think anything's happening. Now, you'd be able to hear it pretty clear if you could hear it at this point. I don't know what is going on. Anything? Yes? something is horribly wrong. I don't know what it is, but let's see, if I just pipe everything into V1, can you guys hear it now? No. Alright. That's good. It was worth a shot. I don't know what's going on. It's not like I do anything different, but pretty much every time I do this show, it is the exact same audio setup. Whatever machine I'm on, I actually wrote myself a little text file, and much louder, perfect. You heard that? And then I stopped it. All right. Well, here. This was... At least I can do this for you. This was the way I was going to start the show. Pretend this is the very start of the show and you get this. Anything? Oh, is this one of those things where I have to talk and then you can hear it in the background? Oh. Mic background? Huh. Let's see. Recording. Nah. I got nothing. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. If you're hearing it, then that's something. I don't know. I don't know how you're hearing it. It's literally one headset. There's no speaker going. It's my headphones and a mouthpiece, but whatever. Scissor Sisters, it was going to be good stuff. Man, I hope I can fix this other laptop soon, though, because it'll be really sad if I have to do this next week, too. I had it perfectly for 10 seconds. Whatever. Do-do-do-do-do-do. No, I got nothing. Oh, wow, now I can't even hear myself on Tilde Radio. Tilde Radio? There we go. All right. All right, forget all that. It is so weird. It is super weird why this would be all weird tonight. I don't know what to tell you guys. So let's talk a little bit about next week, shall we? We have Kona couldn't make it tonight. He's in San Antonio. All right, next week, I was considering tapping into one of the things I've been holding off on for a while, and now I'm hesitant because I don't know if my audio set's going to be good, and I don't want to mess that one up with a bad audio night, but I've got a Choose Your Own Adventure book called Supercomputer, and I figure that would be a really special one for this crew. I thought we could get really geeky about it. I had some good music picked out for it. Next week is Valentine's Day? Ooh, that might not be a good one for Valentine's Day then. Alright, I will pick something else for Valentine's Day, and hopefully the week after I'll have my other computer back, and we should be good again. If I have to do a If I have to do one next week that's voice only, I'll plan ahead for that. And yeah, Valentine's Day special. I'll have to take a look and see what we've got available. Oh, I can do that online. anonradio.net/CYOA. I have my book list here. Let's see. We've got, we must have something here that's kind of in the mood, if you will. Let's see. Wow, maybe not. I mean, we already did Romeo and or Juliet. That would have been a really good one for that. Dragon's Den, Mountain Survival. None of these scream Valentine's to me. Escape, maybe that. Inside UFO, that's a weird kind of Valentine's. But I don't know, we'll figure something out. Adam D for the win. Oh, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Yes, we could do that. All right. I'll think of something, and I'm going to have to just plan on it being a voice-only show, and maybe I'll get some extra stuff that way so we're all set. All right, coming up in about 10 minutes is SDF's Open VoIP. Open VoIP? Yes. That'll last for about an hour. Now, if you're an SDF member, or actually, even if you're not, you can dial in. It's a VoIP line. I don't know the VoIP connection line. Hey, Synodesk, you're around. What is the what's the number to dial into VoIP if you don't have a VoIP account? There's like a regular number, isn't there? Let me know. But anyway, people can dial into SDF VoIP, and you'll hear it on anonradio.net. Anybody can kind of jump into a party line. And sometimes we get a lot of people. I think the other day, Synodesk had a huge crowd going there. The Supercomputer Massacre for Valentine's Day. All right, we could do that. All right, the number is 206-299-2120, extension 1088. Thank you, Snardusk. You should dial in if you got some time to kill. I used to jump on there with JBug29, and we would have some silliness. I haven't seen him around in a while. I wonder what's going on with JBug29. He used to do a really good, like, set of voices that we would do on there. That was really cool. And then, anyway, after that hour is open mic night on SDF. So if you want to test your hand at streaming and see how much better you can do than whatever I'm doing tonight, it wouldn't be very hard. You can find the credentials to do an open mic stream on the AnonRadio.net website. I use a program called Butt, B-U-T-T. It is as good as it sounds. There's a bunch of other things you can use to connect in there, including like liquid soap if you just want to do a terminal stream. There's a lot of different ways to connect. Mix is a good one, M-I-X-X-X. But you can just tune in and stream music and try your hand at it and see if you like being a DJ. If you're into it, you could join Anon Radio. All it takes is the ability to show up each time your show is and be a little creative. We don't have a very high bar, as I've proven tonight. If a regular show on Anon Radio is too much, you could also try streaming on Tilde Radio. It's a little more ad hoc, but check out irc.tilde.chat and talk with Deep End or Ben, and they can get you hooked up with a account there, and you can try your hand streaming at that time. All right, JBig29, the lucky recipient of Snowdusk's beloved iBook G3-466 clamshell graphite. Oh, wow, you just sent it to him? That's awesome. Yeah, JBug29 is in college right now. He runs the, it's like a computer club at Millsaps College, I think it is. I sent him a, what do you call it? The little, one of the Raspberry Pi Zeros. I sent him one of those one time. But yeah, they're always happy to get whatever they can, hardware-wise, in his little computer club. It's cool. All right. So far, 20 minutes. Thanks, Chumlock. Yeah, I'm just going to kind of keep talking for another 8 minutes until my show wraps up. Let's see. Yes, he collects old computers for his college computer club. They do some cool stuff. They have a Gopher site at Millsaps. Millsaps.edu, I think. Let's see. Links, Gopher, Millsaps.edu. I don't know if it's right at that. No, I think it might be like at a subdomain or something. I forget. But that's cool. What else we have going on here? Christio Twisty. Oh, you know what we could do? We could be productive here. We got about 7 minutes left. Christio Twisty is about to face a potential snowstorm in the Northwest, and she was asking earlier about good ways to stay entertained when you might be snowed in for several days. Maybe three, she was saying. So she's got some books. She's got made a library trip. She's got some backup stuff on Kindle. What else is there? I think it was Gemlog or maybe Dokuja suggested learning some Python skills. What else do you think would be a good one for Christio Twisty, who may or may not have internet access, but will hopefully have internet access while she's stuck? Yes, books. Always a great one. She is a fantastic reader, so I think that's a great suggestion. Anybody else have anyone? Writing. Oh, yes. Lexi. I'm pretty sure Lexi is Alexis. I'm 90% sure. Lexi and on STF. Yeah, Lexi says writing, and I could not agree more. Christy has been tossing around a Cosmic Voyage idea. It could be a good time to see if you can make it come to life. You know, happy times. Object-oriented Turing. Memorize the ASCII chart. Oh no, the username was taken? Well, Lexi's a good one too. More bourbon. Yes, Christy, just drink all the bourbon for 3 days straight. Oh man, I don't know if Tobin would be too happy with that one. Oh boy. All right. So, yeah, there's some good ideas happening in STF's comm right now. I think everybody's kind of moved into comm. I don't see much chat happening outside of that. Nothing like not having any distractions available to really focus on writing something new. You know, Alexis has a good point there. Also, kind of my bane. I've had a couple of those where I've like set aside days where I'm like, today is it. I'm writing today, and I've got no distractions, and no one's going to be around. Or, like, my wife is traveling or something, and I get nothing done. I feel like I need to have a little bit of a battle to write. If it's just handed to me on a plate, I'm like, nah, I guess I'll get around to that pretty soon, but first I'll listen to this audiobook, or I'm going to lay on this couch for a minute, and then I'm asleep. Hackers on VHS, that's a great idea, too. Yeah, I don't know if Christy can do any geocaches. Can you do geocaches when you're stuck inside? The puzzles. Yeah, you could work on the puzzles. That works. Gemlug, are you saying you've not seen Hackers? Is that what I'm understanding from that statement? He says, I keep meaning to watch Hackers movie. Like, watch it again? Or have you actually not seen Hackers? Snowdusk is reacting passionately. No! Oh, man. I don't know. He's gotten quiet. It's true. Gemlock has never seen Hackers. Oh, wow. All right. I guess we have something to do. Maybe we won't watch Supercomputer next week. Maybe I will just read you the Hacker script for an hour. don't be Joey. Yeah, there is no shame in it. It's not like The Princess Bride, where if you haven't seen it, there's actually something wrong that you need to fix. Hackers is just a really fun time. Cicada 3301. What is that, Tobe? That sounds familiar, but I can't place it. I'm Googling it. Oh, it's a code breaker thing. Ooh. Cool. The hacker script is on Gopher. Yes, yes it is. It's Tobe's password list, yes. Gemlog agrees. If you haven't watched The Princess Bride, you are a sick, twisted individual with no hope. There is somebody at work who has not seen it and refuses to watch it because everybody tells her that she would love it so much. It's a real shame because there's really nobody that suffers from that except for her herself. Morse Code Media knows who I'm talking about if he's listening, but it's just sad. What a great movie. It's one of those movies that, like, everybody can just agree on being a great movie. Not a lot of those. All right. Hey, man, talk about vamping. I've done it for almost 30 minutes. We have about 2 minutes left in the show. So I'm going to just play you out on this song here. It's Mary Had a Little Lamb. Ready? Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. I was joking around earlier with Morse Code Media that I didn't have time to prep my music for tonight, so I was just going to sing. And now it's actually true. Oh, that's sad. Kids and grandkids should watch The Princess Bride. It is fantastic. It's adventure, it's swashbuckling, it's sword fighting, and love, true love. The joke is on me. All right, so we got about a minute left. Like I said, stick around for Open VoIP. Join us on Open Mic. It's really fun. Now that Lexi's over here on SDF, you got no excuse. Jump in, stream some music. It's really easy. Plus puns. So many puns. You are the Brute Squad. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. It was a really short, really weird show, but you guys made it fun anyway. Hey, are those rocks ahead? If they are, we'll all be dead. Have a good night.